Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? So ask Jesus in our gospel reading for today. And why indeed do we as human beings so easily see someone else's fault? And we see that much more readily than we see our own. It's easy to look at others and see their faults without looking in the mirror and seeing ours. After all, we don't want to reflect on our sins and faults and wrongs, on the ways that we fail to live up to God's law. That's not very pleasant. In fact, it's downright depressing to focus on all the ways in which we have done wrong and all the bad habits we have and the ways we fall short. Instead, it's much easier to focus on someone else's problems, the ways that they need to be fixed, the way they fall short, to perhaps put the blame on them for the problems that we see or that we have. And in fact, we could even use other parts of this gospel reading to do it. If anyone even questions our lifestyle or our way of doing things, it would be easy to pull out this gospel reading and say, "See, look. Judge not, lest you be judged. You're being judgmental. Don't judge me, don't criticize me." But to judge that person of being judgmental is in itself a judgment. It is to see the speck that is in your brother's eye, to see that brother being judgmental, the problem with him or her, and not then to reflect on the plank that may be in our own eye, the problem that we have. After all, if I do receive criticism, I shouldn't get in a huff and throw back at that person that they are being judgmental and can never offer any criticism. Instead, what should we do? We should assume the best about their intentions. Perhaps that other person is trying to speak the truth in love when they offer some kind of criticism, as the Apostle Paul tells us to do in Ephesians. Perhaps that other person is following the Apostle Paul's admonition in Galatians chapter 6, where he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." So we are to address sin, according to Scripture. Or perhaps the person is trying to follow Matthew 18 when they offer something to you to point out what God's word says. When perhaps they are looking to Matthew 18 where Jesus says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." Or perhaps the person in question actually has the office, the position to judge when someone has done wrong, and to correct, like a parent, a judge, a police officer, a pastor, or someone else with that office. After all, would a child be right in saying to the parent who's about to discipline them, "Judge not, or you too will be judged," to their parents? No, the parent has that office and vocation and calling. And the parent is to teach their children what is right, teach their child what is right and good, and should offer discipline and correction. But perhaps the person who is correcting you, offering something from the Word of God, does not do it in a spirit of gentleness that we hear described in Galatians. Perhaps they are judgmental and arrogant, and they look down their nose at you. And perhaps you do want to, in the face of that, point the finger at them and judge them of being judgmental. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? If it is a brother or sister in Christ who comes to you, bringing to you the Word of God and what it says in a particular issue, and you'd like to point your finger back and say that they are being judgmental, stop looking at the speck in your brother's eye and address the sin in your own eye. As Jesus goes on to say here in this illustration with eyes and specks and logs, You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. So what does that mean? When we see the faults in fellow Christians, we should first reflect on our own sin. Ask yourself, do I commit this sin? How does my life line up with what God says in His Word? And we should confess that sin and receive forgiveness. And then, if it is part of your vocation, your calling, as a parent, as a brother or sister in Christ in the same congregation, as a friend in Christ, to address this particular sin with your brother or sister in Christ, notice fellow Christians, then in humility, approach them individually to address it. As we read in Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You address it personally and individually. Or also, if a fellow Christian is caught in sin, then Christians do have a responsibility to address it, as we see in Galatians 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, why do we do this? Isn't this being judgmental? Isn't it contrary to what Jesus says when he says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged"? What we are doing here is not bringing our own personal judgment against someone, but the judgment of the Word of God. We as sinners, as those who understand that we do not live up to God's law, that we live in God's forgiveness and His mercy, that we have a Heavenly Father who has been merciful to us, we speak not our own personal opinion, but rather we speak what God's Word says. After we have examined ourselves to address the logs in our own eyes, and our attitude in all of this is one of mercy and forgiveness, for we are to be, as our gospel reading begins, merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Our attitude toward others when we see their faults all has to begin with the fact that we as Christians live as children of a merciful Heavenly Father. And the only reason that we can have God as our loving Heavenly Father and be adopted into His family and no longer live at enmity with Him is not because we've removed all the logs or all the specks, not because we have lived perfect lives, but because He sent Jesus Christ to live a perfect life in our place and to die in our place. This holy Son of God didn't have any logs in His eyes. He could have come here and rightly condemned us all. Instead, He took on the punishment for all of our logs and specks of sin on the cross and was punished for them there, that He might give us the forgiveness of all our sins, that He might grant us eternal life. Our Father has been merciful to us in sending Jesus. And our Father has also been merciful in sending us the Holy Spirit through His Word and baptism to point out our sin and to create in us the faith that trusts in Jesus for the forgiveness so that we are reconciled to the Father. And He has also been merciful to us in calling us into an assembly of believers, into a congregation gathered around Word and Sacrament, where we have brothers and sisters in Christ who can come to us and recognize if we are caught in any transgression, to restore us in a spirit of gentleness, to speak the Word of God to us out of love, speaking the truth in love, between us and them alone, as Matthew 18 says. Because they care for us and they love us and they do not want us to be caught in transgression, to fall into sin and eventually into eternal death. The Holy Spirit calls us into this fellowship of believers where we hear the Word of God and we receive His forgiveness and we live with fellow believers who are also receiving the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. God has been merciful to us when we justly deserve to be condemned for our sins and our rebellion against Him. And if we have received his undeserved mercy, then we too show mercy to others. Instead of condemning and judging and avoiding our brothers and sisters in Christ, we look at the logs in our eyes, confess them, and receive forgiveness. We do the hard work of trying, as far as it depends on us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live peaceably with them. See our epistle reading. After we have addressed the logs in our eyes by confession and absolution, we humbly go to those fellow Christians who have sinned against us, to those who are caught in sin, and we bring the Word of God and what God says about their sin, not our personal feelings about something, but what the Word of God says, the judgment of the holy and righteous God. And the purpose of all of that is not so that we can be their life coach and tell them to get their act together, to work harder, but rather so that we all can gather around the same table, at the same altar, and receive the same body and blood of the same Jesus. We all receive it, no matter who we are, no matter how long we have been Christians, no matter how much we know the depth of our sins. We come as sinners to receive the same body and blood of the same Savior. That is the goal of bringing the Word of God to a brother or sister in Christ, that we come and receive our Lord's forgiveness in word and sacrament, because we are all sinners in need of forgiveness. It is much easier to see the sin in others than it is to see the sin in ourselves. Easier to see the speck that is in our brother's eye than the log that is in our own. We have to look at our lives in light of God's word, not our personal opinion or the personal opinion of someone else. We must recognize our sin in light of that word, confess it, and receive forgiveness. And then we live as children baptized into Christ, children of our Heavenly Father, in humility and gratitude for the mercy of God in Jesus. And in this humility, we take criticism from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We take from them the admonition that they bring from the Word of God, because we know we are sinners who need correction and the light of God's Word. And in this same spirit of repentance and dependence on the mercy of God, we humbly bring the Word of God to our neighbor where appropriate, in a spirit of gentleness, all so that we may go together to the same table to receive our Lord's forgiveness in his body and his blood, as we do today. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.